Yeah, let's get started. This is going downhill pretty fast.
Let's play
Plus, my wife's pool still has
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kaile.johansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Did you hear that, Scott? That's the new intro with Rick on it now. Yeah, so we got Rick on there now for the intro. I still don't have him for the exit one because I didn't get any of that done while I was at the convention, which I was planning on doing, but I didn't do that, so it's still the same there. But so today we're going to review Star Wars: The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 12, including this episode. That's four episodes left. This one's called The Juggernaut. And I think, I don't know if you caught it, either one of you. I don't know if Scott's watched it, but Rick, if you caught it, the Juggernaut was that vehicle they were driving, the vehicle that they were transporting people with.
Yeah, the transport, yeah, the big thing.
They called him a transport too, also in there, but it's a Juggernaut vehicle or something like that. Big old tires and whatever.
Yeah, heavily armored transport.
Yeah, exactly. The weapons weren't penetrating. We're going to discuss all the episode. So we want you to, not be spoiled.
Yeah.
So what that sound means is you need to go watch the episode because we're going to talk all about it. But first, we're going to unbox a Funko, Star Wars Funko Pop. And then we'll do a lot of discussions and beg you heavily for feedback. We really need the feedback because, we're getting tired of talking just to ourselves. We want somebody else to talk to. So come on in and give us some feedback. Give me a second here, and I'm going to share the video. I think that's the right one. And I want audio. Yes. You guys see it?
Mm-hmm.
See it? So let's play and see if you can hear it. Here it goes.
In the box.
You can see my thumb playing on using the mouse over there.
Where's the sharp pointy thing?
It should be coming. I think.
Yeah. Unboxing. Here we go.
All right. Oh, that's you.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Look at that.
Okay.
Got some tape on there.
Almost got yourself.
Yes. Oh, this is still stuck over here. Okay. Oh, this one's tough.
Come on, Santa.
Good thing I have my super sharp Debbie tool. Yeah. All right. Oh, hey, look. It's wrapped in paper. I appreciate that when I do that, but it's not really necessary,
Extra paper. Let's
take it out. Double. I don't want you to see it yet. Oh, no. Okay, here we go. Whoosh. Boom. Good old Cad Bane. Star Wars 580. It's got a little different design here. What's going on there? Let's see.
That's great since we're talking about this episode, huh?
Let me previous episode to the side. Look at that. 580 down there. Yeah, previous episode. Let's get it closer. Oh yeah, look at that. He looks so mean. But that's the way I planned it. It's funny, he's
that's
got
cool
on his legs too.
Yeah.
Alright, here's the back. Well, look at that. It says Boba Fett. So this is from the Book of the Boba Fett. And it's got several characters there. Don't think I have all of those, but we'll see.
How many of them are they made?
Collect them all. Book of Boba Fett. Here's the sideways view.
Yeah. There's a no number for each
Looks pretty
one,
cool,
so.
huh? Look up close. You can see the detail and everything. It's kind of cool. Oh,
Smile.
there he is.
Something in his
Blue
teeth.
eyes staring at you. That's the unboxing.
Are those an
Yay.
implant?
Yay, unboxing. Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings. Yeah, that should have been at the front. Now we have a special treat.
Stop it. All right, let's get rid of that from the screen. Stop
Okay.
sharing.
That's for the people who watch it in reverse.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, share. Okay, so now we got audio again. And we're gonna do another a commercial too, so I can take a drink or something. So let's try this one.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Does your bald head take a beating from shaving, the sun, and all of the things Mother Nature throws your way? Ladies look at your dry, sunburnt head and cringe? Well, guys, there's a new product out there in the head care market that promises to rock your head. I
It's
mean,
just me,
don't.
I
Looks
guess.
soft, clean, and touchable, and it's trending number one through social media and on YouTube. Introducing Dome Armor. It
Whoa.
conditions with moisturizers like coconut oil and shea butter, protects with sunscreen up to SPF 45, and enhances your already sexy dome into an irresistible hands-on experience.
Yeah,
Keep
touch
your
it,
head, I
baby.
mean dome, safe and protected. Get Dome Armor. Now available in fresh bacon scent.
Bacon
Sure to
scent.
get the ladies to come running in fine stores like Walmart and Lowe's.
Lowe's.
Oh, and for those still struggling with minor hair loss, try Grogaine. This product will refresh, revitalize, and regrow hair on your dome.
Look at that. It's growing just as we speak. Oh my
Oh
goodness. Look at all that hair he's got. That Grogaine stuff is good. We need to get some of that, Scott, don't we? Oh.
no. Oh, I
Scott's
got
got hair
plenty.
now. Scott's got hair now. This is pretty much all I get. When it gets like this long, I need to start cutting it back a little bit. It gets a little
Got
awkward.
one of those forehead things to shave your
What is
head
it?
bald.
No, I'm not gonna do that. Not until if the circle gets bigger back here, maybe. But no, not yet. All right, so let's get back to the episode. Let's see what the cast and directors and stuff are. So we got Stuart Lee was our director today. He's been in a couple, but not very many, not as many as some of the others. Writer was Ezra Nachman. And then of course Matt Mitchovitz is the editor. And then the music was scored by Kevin Kinner, Sean Kinner, Deanna Kinner. And then we had our crew, the Bad Batch. We had Hunter, Wrecker, Batcher, all by D. Bradley Baker. And of course, there was Commander Scorch, Crosshair. They were also D. Bradley Baker. And I don't know. They listed Commander Scorch, but I didn't think he said anything this time. But
Yeah. Well, I think he said yes, sir. I think that
yeah, you're right. You're right. He did probably. He gave him an
was it.
order. He said yes, sir.
It went there at the vault or something. But that's all I heard. Because, yeah, when you said that, I don't remember that. But
Maybe
because he was
so,
in
but
two scenes, maybe.
yeah, I thought it was when I saw it on the list, I thought it was odd. Then we got Omega by Michelle Yang. The robot that the what the doctor or not the doctor, the medical robot AZ was done by Ben Diskin. Ben also voiced an Imperial tech and a Stormtrooper number one. Then we had Dr. Royce Hemlock, always by Jimmy Simpson. We had another Stormtrooper done by Jonathan Lippow, and he did the little Ugnaught that we saw, little short guy. If you remember the Mandalorian, that was the little Ugnaught that gave him the weird animal ride to go. Emery Carr by Keisha Castle Hughes. Matthew Wood played an Imperial driver and a Stormtrooper number three.
And then we had Admiral Rampart, which we haven't seen for quite a while, partly because, you know, he got arrested, as we see here. He's played by Noshir Dalla. And Steve Bloom played another stormtrooper and the prison warden. And then surprise guest star Fee Genoa showed up all of a sudden. Boom, where are you? How'd you get in here? Wanda Sykes. So again, this was episode 3 or season 3, episode 12, Juggernaut. It originally aired on April 10th. It was 23 minutes long, so they're getting shorter now. And of course, it happened around 18 before the Battle of Yavin, which is, again, 18 before the Death Star exploded, the first one. So what that means, Scott and Rick, it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. All right, let's get into it. So we start off with a CX2 trooper who has captured Omega, and they land on Tanis base. And you know, his vessel is called Dagger, the CX Dagger vessel. And Royce Hemlock is sitting there on the tarmac waiting for her to depart. After removing her handcuffs, Hemlock compliments Omega for surrendering and leads her into the base. He says, "Follow me," which was, I thought, was kind of weird. You know, I know it's just a, you know, an animated cartoon or whatever, but she had no guards. What's going to prevent her from running? Well, I mean, I guess he's confident she's not going to be able to escape or whatever, but still, I thought it was just weird that it was just him and her walking along. He had no guards. She could have, you know, brought a stabby tool and stabbed him or something. Who knows? But
I guess it was definitely it was more of a friendly interaction than a, you know, prisoner.
Yeah, but we know she doesn't like him though. So, but I know, but I get it. He's trying to be nice and whatever. It just felt weird. So they walk through the main corridor, and Hemlock takes her down the turbo lift to see Nala Se's laboratory, which Emery Carr has taken over. Hemlock orders Carr to begin testing again on Omega's midichlorian count. Carr initially hesitates but complies with Hemlock's orders. When Omega asks about Nala Se, Hemlock says that the Kamoan scientist has been imprisoned in a cell and will not be helping her escape again. Hemlock leaves and says he will return for the results. Omega tries to reason with Carr, but Carr says she has no choice. She has to do this. And she extracts a sample from Omega. Carr expresses relief that her younger sister is safe, but when Omega brutally asks if she really is safe, she says, am I safe? I don't feel safe. Am I meanwhile, on Pabu, Imperial forces begin returning to their gunships and their Venter class Star Destroyer. Hunter and Batcher join Crosshair and Wrecker in their hiding place. He reports that the Imperial troops have withdrawn, but the cruiser is still jamming communications. Wrecker is upset that Crosshair allowed Mega to surrender herself to the Empire. Crosshair responds that the Galactic Empire would have destroyed the town if she did not. She saved them by stopping and surrendering. Wrecker still grumbles and says they've lost Omega again, and their starship Marauder is destroyed. So how are they going to get off this planet now? I don't know. Hunter also adds that they now have no way of finding Tanis base. But Crosshair says, "Oh, I know somebody. I've been keeping it from you." Vice Admiral Edmund Rampart may know the coordinates to Tanis base. He explains that he sent Nala Se there when the Empire decommissioned Topoka City? Hunter says that he did not say anything about... Why didn't he say anything about this before? And Crosshair replies that Tanis is a place that that he does not want to go back to. Some sort of something about last resort, right? Because he's got the shakes and stuff from it. He doesn't want to get more shaky, right? Right. He's got these PSD or whatever.
PTSD.
Exactly. While Ramport is not particularly trustworthy, Crosshair adds that he is their only option left. I'm sure they could have thought of another option, but...
Yeah, so remind me about him. Remind me about him. Was he on season one?
Yeah. He was on a lot of it. They got him arrested for something he was doing, bad is things.
I was going to go back and look, and I just never got free this week. But I thought he was the one that was on season one, but I wasn't positive.
Yeah, he was on season one and season two, most of it. Most of it. He was usually the bad guy that they were interacting with.
Okay.
The one we recognized the most was him.
All right.
Yeah.
Clarification.
So before Crosshair can finish, Batcher starts barking. Rawr, rawr. And Fee, Genoa, and AZ ascend from their trapdoor concealed beneath a table. What? They didn't even know there was a trapdoor there. AZ tells them not to shoot. Hey, don't shoot us. I'm just a little droid robot. I'm just a little Dr. Droid robot. He explains that he found Genoa while scouting. And Genoa has been briefed on the Imperial search on Pabu. When Hunter asks how she arrived unseen, Genoa says she used the hidden cavern access when she docked her ship. Now they have hidden caverns. What's up with that? And they didn't even know about it. What? When Hunter asks, she says that she tells Crosshair that Tech told her about him and accepts him as a friend. He was a friend of Tech's. Anybody who's a friend of Brown Eyes is a friend of mine, is what she says. Crosshair tells the group that Ramport is serving a sentence at an Imperial labor camp on Erebus. So that's obviously their next trip, right? Now they've got a ship. They got Fee's ship, right? So, hey, that's a good thing. On Erebus, an A9 turbo tank travels on a bridge to a different part of the labor camp. Ramport is working in a mining facility under the supervision of masked alien prisoner foreman, whom he resents taking orders from. They have a little argument and a conversation there, and then we see we're aboard the ship with Fee and the crew. Fee's ship's called the Providence. Genoa tells the Bad Batch that she has obtained a holo map of the labor camp from a top secret contact of hers. And she had to pay highly for it, she said, I think. But it was worth it, she says. She said it was really worth it. Hunter asks if she can get them close to the perimeter of the camp without being detected. Genoa says she can, but warns about the guards and security systems inside the camp. Once you get inside, there's a lot. Wrecker thinks they can handle the Imperials, though. You know, hey, give us a real challenge, I think he says. Give us something real that's going to be tough. Come on. Crosshair says that they can use a network terminal at one of the checkpoints. Hunter tells Genoa that they will contact her for pickup once they have acquired the target. The target. The Providence exits and leaves hyperspace. What are you doing there? Cleaning your toes or something?
I had to move a puppy. She nearly fell off the couch.
Whoops. He fell off in his sleep. That's funny. Excuse me. Crosshair says they will use the network checkpoints, and Hunter tells Genoa they will contact her for a pickup, and the Providence exits hyperspace. With several Class 4 container transports, Genoa takes the ship into stealth mode by switching off the engines and descending into Erebus's atmosphere. She restarts the engines once they reach lower atmosphere and lands the clones on a mountain near the labor camp. So she has a stealth mode where she just turns off the ship. That's not stealthy. That's dangerous, huh?
Yeah, that's what she calls stealth, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot her name. The kidnapped one. Does she still have her comm with her?
No, they took it. When they captured her, they took her comm and
I thought she swallowed it and put it somewhere else.
Crosshair was going to put a tracker on the ship or whatever, and he missed. You know, because he's having troubles shooting straight nowadays.
I mean, it shakes.
Yeah, he's got the shakes. All right, so the Bad Batch approach a large suspension bridge where they stun two TK stormtroopers, sentries. They then access the terminal, which they use to find Rampart's location. Rampart waits impatiently for the end of his work shift. He has trouble understanding the Ugnaught foreman since they don't speak the same language. Yeah, the Ugnaught's just grunting. He kind of compliments. He says, I don't speak grunt. Grunting. I don't speak grunting. The two join other prisoners just lined up outside the turbo tank transport one that has been repurposed as a prisoner transport.
Kind of cool to see the Ugnaught back, though.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I was surprised to see, too, but I mean, that makes sense. They, you know, they pretty much made themselves out to be very valuable throughout the Empire because they were able to do just about anything, including maintenance stuff. Lots of maintenance stuff. They were quite intelligent, but wanted to be slaves, I guess. I don't know. Crosshair tells Hunter that Rampart is scheduled to be transported back to the prison from the mining structure. Hunter appears through his binoculars. He says, "Hey, what's up?" And he sees the prison on the other side of the bridge. Hunter proposes intercepting Rampart when they're en route from the mine, and Wrecker is excited about taking on a turbo tanker. He says, "I'm ready. Let's get it." But Crosshair cautions against them taking it head on. Studying the surrounding geography, Hunter proposes going under the turbo tank. And I thought when he said that, they were going to, like, you know, find a big pothole or something and get in it. But apparently they were on the edge of the slope or whatever going up. So on the transport, Rampart is secured into his holding cell. A stormtrooper tells the prisoner they are heading back to base. As the turbo tank approaches the bridge, Hunter says he will secure the cockpit while the others to secure Rampart. The clones board the turbo tank using grappling cables, which arouse the sensors and alarms. Uh-oh. Beep, beep, beep. Kind of like this. What?
That was kind of weird, but they were able to know that something was on there with all that heavy armor.
Yeah, it probably had a sensor when something touched it or something weird. Which, you know, how would they know? Maybe it could be a rock they kicked up from their tires. You don't know, I guess.
Or a bird.
Yeah, bird. Stormtrooper climbs out of the hatch to investigate. The Bad Batch enter the turbo tank using the hatch. The guy was no match for him, I guess. Wrecker knocks out the driver with the door to the holding cells. His magnetic is sealed, and Crosshair tells Wrecker to remember Plan 55 as they enter the block. The clones use the blaster to shoot the stormtroopers guarding the prisoner, and Rampart recognizes Crosshair. He addresses him as CT-9904. He says, "What are you doing here, man?" And Hunter says they've captured the target. When Rampart asks if they are going to kill him, Crosshair quips that it is tempting. "I'd like to." The clones free the other prisoners, who are allowed to disembark from the tank into the wilderness as a distraction, I think is what they did it for. Which is not very nice. They're probably all going to get captured again anyway, right? What's the point?
Killed because they ran away.
Right. That's just not very nice.
Something's going to happen.
At the bridge control tower, an Imperial weapons technician informs the warden that Transport One has made an unscheduled stop. What?
Oh no.
The warden orders the technician to run a diagnostic on their comms. Make sure they're okay. Make sure something's not funky.
Something's
back
not
at the back at the transport, Rampart deduces that the clones need something from him. Oh, so you need something. You don't want to kill me, so you must need something. What could be worth that? Crosshair responds that he is not in a position to bargain. Rampart disagrees and says that he will talk only when they get him off the planet. He says they don't get what they want if he doesn't get what he wants. That's kind of tricky. That Rampart was always kind of slippery. So, all right. Hunter tells Wrecker to man the cannons as they approach the bridge. Get ready, Wrecker. Get them ready. He's like, oh, no big deal, man. No big deal. Meanwhile, the technician reports that the transport comms appear to be jammed. Jammed? How can that be? The warden and technician look out the window and notice the tank is accelerating. What? Why would it do that? They realize the transport has been compromised, and the warden orders that gunships be deployed and that the bridge be sealed off. Transport 2 is rerouted to intercept the hijacked transport while the bridge deploys several barriers. Hunter plows Transport 1 through heavy barriers. The Bad Batch will also exchange fire with Transport 2, which is approaching from the opposite end. Unable to penetrate its armor, Hunter orders Wrecker to take out the wheels with rockets.
Should penetrate.
Achoo. The rockets succeed in disabling Transport 2, and Hunter accelerates the turbo tank over Transport 2. He does a Duke Hazzard's thing. Woo-hoo.
Put the hammer down.
Yeah, which we all know that's not real. It doesn't do that. Just because you put the hammer down doesn't mean the engine lifts up off the ground. No, it doesn't work that way. Especially not in a Hemi. That engine's heavy. Okay, transport safely to the other side. Rampart attempts to grab a blaster, but Crosshair shoots it out of his hand before and stuns him. He says, "No, no, no. You're a prisoner. Don't tempt me to kill you." Because he asks him about killing again. Stormtroopers board two LAT gunships at the as Transport One plows through the second set of barriers and crosses the bridge successfully. Traveling past the perimeter, Crosshair carries Rampart into the cockpit. Wrecker requests a pickup from Fee. Wrecker manages to shoot down one of the gunships, which crashes and explodes. Second gunship pursues Transport One across a narrow cliff. Their wheels are like coming off the edge of it and stuff. You can see on the one side, it's so close. Which it makes it, there's a funny part here coming up related to that. So it crosses the side and it lands, our Transport Two lands several stormtroopers, who disable the rear and front turret cannons. Hunter manages to shake off three, with two falling off the cliff and one being crushed against the other side. So they were so close that, you know, he hit a rock on the way. Boom. It was funny. I like it when they do that. That's funny stuff.
It was like a pick and roll.
Yeah.
When he blows it up.
Gunship manages to disable the wheel controls before Genoa destroys the gunship. Genoa flies the Providence over Transport One, allowing the clones and the unconscious Rampart to board her ship via the forwarding docking ramp. I kind of glossed over that there, but Transport Two disabled the wheels so they couldn't control anything anymore. They knocked out all the controls. So that thing is going by itself now. And of course, like you said, she put down the dock so they could jump on there, and Wrecker jumps and he almost falls off. He doesn't quite get there. He's there, but someone, Hunter and Crosshair, catch him, pull him to safety.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, they needed both of them because he's a big boy, that's for sure.
Noise.
Once in space, the Bad Batch confront Rampart, who has just woken up. Crosshair demands he uphold his side of the bargain. Rampart admits he does not know the coordinates to Tanis, which are closely guarded secret, but he does know a way to get around that. If you don't know the coordinates, how do you get around it? I don't know. Crosshair threatens to send him back to prison, but Rampart says they are in this together. So now we're going to see Rampart walking around for a while. That's kind of weird. All right. So meanwhile, Carr finishes analyzing Omega's blood, which has a high, very high M count. Hemlock returns to the lab, and Carr informs him that her blood sample yielded a favorable M count replication. So they can replicate it too. Interesting. Hemlock is not surprised. Okay, why not, buddy? When Omega asks what that means, he leads her to the Tanis vault. And he also explains about the M count and how that she's the only one so far that can be replicated or mixed with other blood that has M count. So they're in the vault. It's heavily guarded by clone commandos. This is possibly when we see Scorch say, "Yes, sir." Hemlock tells Omega that individual M counts cannot be directly replicated and that earlier attempts have failed. As they enter the red screening room, he alludes to the Project Necromancer's experiments, which include mixing samples from various specimens. These have all failed until they combined her sample with one of their M count specimens. So that's interesting. Something's different about her blood. We still don't really know. We just know that's kind of what Malice was working on the whole time. So inside the section, they pass through a second line of clone commandos. Hemlock tells Omega that she is vital to their work. When they enter the vault, Omega encounters three other Force-sensitive children, including Eva, Jax, and the Pantorian child. Still doesn't have a name. Pantorian child. The children are playing with hologram blocks. When Omega asks who they are, Hemlock says, "These are the rest of the puzzle," and says, "This is her new home." The doors shut down above, and the scientists above watch in the observation room as Hemlock leaves and the credits roll.
Didn't she sit there and like in the ship or something like that? Didn't she attempt to try to use the Force?
No, she was meditating. That's all I could see. I thought that too, Scott, that she was maybe using it to communicate or something, but we've never seen anything about it. So
she was probably trying to meditate like Ventress had tried to show her the week before.
Yeah. But I don't think anything came of it. Maybe we'll find out, and she did, you know. Ventress will show up next episode because she communicated. Well, I don't know. She at least wasn't able to use the Force to help her current situation in the ship, so.
Well, that we know of.
Yeah, that we know of. She is in the arms of Hemlock now, in the super guarded room with all the force fields around it and stuff. So I mean, that was a different episode. Wasn't all boring stuff. There was a little action in there. Little
Exactly,
action.
guys.
Little action, a little excitement. The wrecker got to blow up stuff. And we got to
Next
see what's his
episode,
name again? Rampart. What, Scott?
all save all those kids.
Yeah. Hopefully that's what's gonna happen eventually, right?
For something like that to actually use force. I know
Well, I
she.
mean, if they're force sensitive too, they could all get together and
She uses the force. I know it.
yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm hoping too, is she'll use the force, but maybe not,
Got a lot of learning to do in a short amount of time.
Yeah, maybe the kids in there will teach her some stuff, huh? Because they're all force sensitive too. I was looking. I don't think I have a Hemlock bobblehead. I don't think so. Anyway, yeah, I mean, we've kind of talked about how we think the episodes are going to go. This one was just kind of. It just kind of moved the story along a little bit, but it didn't move it very far, I don't think. It was all stuff we knew was going to happen, I think. The Hemlock thing was a little different, but they had to figure out how to get there. And I assume, which is a bad thing, I assume that next episode we're going to find out how they get there or they're going to get there.
If they leave this season, have they already said there's going to be a third, fourth season of Bad Batch or
No,
whatever?
this is the final
Really?
season.
Oh my gosh, they got a lot to solve.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe? They can't leave it like we don't know what happens to her and how she grows up or all that.
Well,
She'll be lost in Star Wars history.
Whether that's the first class of star kids, I mean,
Well, in one of the movies, they blow up this Tana base. It's that planet, not the planet killer thing, but they blow up a base like this. Is it in the movies? I think it's maybe it's in the Rebels or something. They blow up this base, but we never see, what happens to everybody inside. So maybe she got blown up and killed in the base. Because, to kind of what Rick's been saying, where is Omega any other time? She's not anywhere else. We don't see her in the future. We don't see her anywhere else except for basically in this Bad Batch. She's not in the Clone Wars show, the previous show. She's not in Rebels. So who knows? I mean, hopefully they'll tell us what happens. Maybe she goes into hiding and she's like the super secret controller of the rebellion or something. I don't know.
She's Luke Skywalker's aunt. Luke
No.
Skywalker's aunt.
That would make Luke Skywalker a product of a clone then. Besides,
No, because they
I think they said in
adopted
the
him.
movies that all the clones are sterile, so.
No, the aunt adopted him on Tatooine. When they separated him and Leia.
Yep, you're right. That aunt that
So,
adopted him.
yeah. Uncle
Could
Owen,
be.
right? Wasn't that his uncle's name? I can't remember what his aunt's name was, but his uncle
Yeah,
was Owen, right?
Brew. Brew's her name.
Yeah, that's it. See?
Yeah, I don't know.
Omega, Blue. That's close. I don't know. I just think this is kind of a. I think she is going to be kind of a side story to a bigger picture, but she's going to be lost in the.
I hope so.
She's the central character of this series, but in the overall picture, she's just a minor player. But I could be wrong. I don't know.
Then this would be wasted watching all this.
No.
No, we got to learn a lot about other things, you know.
Well, we still don't know.
Necromancer is a big thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't know about Necromancer and Palpatine, and this is going to be a great tie-in to all that, so.
Yeah, those all have been revealed, so. I didn't do a news thing at the beginning here, but I sent you guys a couple articles. One of them was a trailer for the rest of the season, which has some video about what's going to happen and stuff. But the other one I sent was about a new series that's supposed to come out after this show's over. It's debuting on May the 4th, which, of course, is that Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Fourth be with you.
And, Scott, if you remember Tales of the Jedi, that show, little short clips, this one's called Tales of the Empire. And it's going to be about the Sith and stuff. So it's going to have lots of Siths, and it's going to have... Supposedly has Dooku in it. Let's see. It tells me in here. Barriss Offee, which was a big part of the Clone Wars series. She's supposedly the one that they hint at being Grogu's... who brought Grogu into the temple. Because her... If you watch the scene that Grogu has a flashback, and there's a room and next to where he's standing, it has Offee's name on it, and it's right there where, you know, all the Jedi are blocking and trying to defend the space or whatever, and there's a door for a room that says Offee's name on it. Anyway, so there's that, and then who else? Tales of the Jedi, and it talks about the Acolyte coming out, which we know comes out in June. So this one's probably going to run its course, and then that'll be right about the time when Acolyte comes out, is when it finishes.
When Acolyte finishes, Skeleton Crew, right?
Who?
Is it the Skeleton Crew coming out this fall?
It's supposed to, yes.
Yeah. Or is it like December, November, December? Maybe it's a little bit later than I'm thinking.
It could be later. I haven't seen a definite date on it yet. I just know fall is the only date that I've heard. And it is supposed to happen in 2024.
Yeah.
Mando? And there's no Mando until next year. Mando is supposed to take the place of the Bad Batch is time slot. So Bad Batch starts early in the year, usually. So yeah. Mando is supposed to start back up early next year.
I thought they pushed Mando back. Was it next year, 2025, or was it 2026 with the movie?
26 is the movie, yes. But the show is going to be back.
Okay.
What about the Rey movie?
That hasn't been officially announced a date yet. It's been confirmed that that's going to happen, and what's her name has signed on for it, but they haven't set a date.
Yeah, she signed on for it, and the guy that played
Finn
is on it, but the guy who played Poe is not.
Yeah, he's on Captain Adventures.
BBA signed on back
then. BBA.
You'll have to see, I guess.
he's just been rolling. He rolls
rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. So, we've done a lot of talking here. We want your feedback. And there's several ways for you to get that feedback to us. We have an email address, feedback@kylejohansson.us. We also have a link on our website on the left-hand side that you click and it brings up a form you can fill out and send. You can submit that to us. We're on Twitter/X. The handle is @super_duper_pod. We're on the new social network Blue Sky at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. And of course, we upload our audio and video now to YouTube, and you can put comments there as well. And we've done pretty well with people listening on YouTube there. I think last I saw we had 9 people listening, and then quite a few people. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, I watched video. It on YouTube this week. Did it show up as a view on watching? Because when I clicked on it, it said 0. I didn't do the Amazon this week. So I did YouTube, though. Is it showing a view?
Let's find out.
Because when I clicked on it, it said 0 views. And then I watched it. And then I never went back to look, you know, when it popped up, if it said any views or anything.
Which episode? The episode 10 or the episode 11?
11, the last week one. Because I didn't listen to it on Amazon like I had been.
You watch the video or not the audio?
Yeah, I watched the video. Yeah,
it shows episode 10, but doesn't show anything on episode 11.
Oh, okay.
Which is weird. Weird.
I guess I'll go back and try it again and see if it shows up. I probably won't watch the whole thing, but at least I'll start it or something.
Yeah.
Because when I saw it, it said 0 views, and I was like, okay, I'll try. But I think I saw it the day that you posted it, too, so that's probably why.
Could be.
Just have to pop up.
We still have 8 people that are subscribed to our YouTube channel. Not a lot, but over 100 people have viewed the channel in the last 28 days.
Sweet.
Yeah, wish more of them would watch and send us feedback, but use those 5 different methods we talked about just a minute ago. Send us some feedback.
Awesome. Maybe I'll start being 2 or 3 different people.
We did get a like a couple of weeks ago. Like I said, I don't know, maybe that was Scott or something, but we did get a like on a video for episode 9. But so I did sign up somebody at the convention to start listening to our podcast.
Cool.
I had my Boba Fett backpack with me. And they're like, oh, I like your backpack. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, I do a podcast. You should listen. Okay, I will. Next thing you know, he's got it on his phone all loaded up. I'm like, sweet.
Wow. So
maybe we'll get a few more that way. I think I need to take something when I go to the ServiceNow convention so I can hand it to people when they ask me questions.
Stickers.
I do have stickers.
I know, but you just need to make stickers and hand them out.
That's funny.
Or you could make the Rebel Alliance out thing here as one of those foam little, foam throw things. And then as you're walking, you just throw them at people. And just walk and throw, and then just keep on walking, and nobody's going to know it was you that threw it.
Oh.
Or stand on the overpass and make it a game and like throw it and try to get it in their backpacks.
I need to get a design and send it to my people, to my friends in Pennsylvania. But on the front, it's going to have a FAFO on it. Fine. If you know what that means.
I know exactly what that means.
Got it. I designed work shirts for my overnight crews.
Actually, really?
We're called the Shadow Crew, and if you want it done, it's at the top border. If you want it done right, you do it at night. And then, let me drop it on the back, of course. Let me drop everything and solve your problem.
Yeah.
It's both shirts, FAFO.
That's funny, Scott, because I just had a shirt made for my school because my kids, and so one of my custodians, she does it on the side, and it says the first day of school and all.
Uh-huh.
And got the, you know, the emoji, like, you know. And so I've been wearing that, like, pretty regularly because my kids wanted me to wear it every day because it's become my new saying. When they do something stupid, they're like, first day of school at all. So that's funny. F-O-F-A. Yep.
Fafa.
Fafa.
Yeah, I have a sign up front, and, you know, they make it like it's the ADD sign, so I have one. It's a firefighter sign out front, and across the street, I have three cops in a row, and they have the blue line one.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I could get away with a fafa on my shirt, but...
Across the street, she's Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, and she hates it. She called the cops, and the cops just laughed at her. As I'm handing them stickers with FAFO and blue line.
There you go.
That's my statement for the century.
Now I have stickers. You can't really see it, but it's this black thing here. I don't know where they're at, though. I don't know where all the rest of them are at.
There you go. You should have found those and you know, handed those out, man.
Yeah, I should. It just says Rebel Alliance Briefing Room on it. It doesn't have an address, but,
yeah, but
I
can say, Google, hey,
use Google, because it'll come up. It comes up right away when you search on Google.
So. I'm going to say Google search it. You need to start finding them, and just wherever you go, just peeling them off and sticking them on stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of the idea, but I got to figure out where the hell I put them.
Bus stops and hotel rooms, and
I have like 20 of them. I know that, at least. Might be more.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Put a couple on federal property, like the mailbox at the end of your street.
No, I can't do that. I'll get arrested.
Yeah. Not like they're
under surveillance, so they'll see who does it. I have these patches, you know, like you get the hats that have the patch on it that you can tear off. I have these.
Does it have? I can't read it. Hold on for a second.
I got a hat that needs that.
I got one of those too. It's got my black beard with the heart on it. It's my oak hat.
Mine right now.
You got a hat that you can tear off the patch. Yeah. This is your patch right there.
That's pretty cool looking.
I've got a patch on my gun case too, on my soft gun case that I've got actually a Bearcat one on that one, but OAAB with the paw on it.
Yeah.
Not this, but
see, there you go. That's cheap, and that's cheap advertising right there. Just peel a sticker, stick it someplace.
Oh yeah, so Scott knows this too, but we did this before Rick started joining us, but I've got these two where this is Scott's name, and that's the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room patch.
Oh, hey.
I can make you one too, with your name on it too, but the other patch that came with it was the Bad Batch, and that symbol at the top is Clone Force, means Clone Force 99.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have this patch here.
Pew pew. That's a good one.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I have. I don't know if I showed you that one, but I have those. And then, like I said, I got a whole bunch of these.
Dude, I like the sticker.
Big stack of those patches that say Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. I got to find them. I have like 20 of them. And
every time you go to Walmart and just go to the bathroom and stick it on the urinal.
They clean those things every day and take stickers off every day.
Sure they do. Yeah. You must have a higher class Walmart than I do.
Well, you know, I do live in Olathe, but it's not that clean either.
Joko. Yeah, the Walmart I would not say they get clean every day, and stickers definitely don't get peeled off, but okay.
Let's run the outro on this thing, and so I can see how much I need to cut out of that episode.
You gotta bleep me, aren't you?
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkaljohansson.us. That's rabr.kaljohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site.
Feedback.
Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kaljohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, LTD, Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle Johnson. This is Andrew Scott.
There he is.
Say goodbye now.
And we got Rick. Rick too. Rick. Still need to get that one fixed. Hopefully next week I'll have it fixed. Hopefully next week. So I can stop recording.